Merry Christmas. And good morning to each one of you. Sometimes we get out of our routine, right, and we're not sure what to say, but it is a good morning. I'm excited to celebrate Christ's birth this morning, and I hope you have had an enjoyable time with friends and probably your family and have enjoyed Christmas thus far. I'm encouraged to see the visitors that we have here. Special welcome to you. If it weren't for you, our group would be really small. So, welcome. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. Lord, thank you for the gift of your Son. Lord, thank you for what that means for us. And Lord, thank you for providing a way of salvation for us through your Son. Lord, help us to, through this time of celebration, to keep that in mind and to not forget the purpose of this time set aside to celebrate Christ's birth. Lord, help us as Christians to show, to be an example to the world around us of the joy and the peace that you've offered through this provision. Lord, be with us today. I pray a blessing on our service here. Pray that as we are together that we could be encouraged. And Lord, we pray that our hearts would be drawn to you. Be with Ken as he preaches up at Elkhart. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through the message there, that you would bless their time together. We pray this in Christ's name. Brother Ken is preaching up at Elkhart. I think he is maybe taking somebody's place up there, and Vanson is sick this morning, so a lot of sickness going on. So let's remember to pray for those who are not feeling the best. Title of the message this morning is, Would God Send Gabriel to You? You know, I believe God in His holy, almighty power desires to make Himself known to us. He desires to make His glory known to us. And it's obvious in the way that He, or the way that Christ came to earth and the way that He made it known to the world, how He was foretold and how when Christ actually came, how it was presented to the people. God is a personal God. God's a God who I believe wants to be wants us to understand His will. He wants to reveal His power to us. He wants to reveal His love to us. And He wants us to understand His will for our lives. And if God's a God like that, why is it at times it seems like it's so hard to understand what He wants? Sometimes it's so hard to know how He's trying to direct us in life. Sometimes it seems so confusing. Why is that when God is a personal God? When we believe that God wants us to know His will. You know, I have to think back to my childhood days. And one of the things that we often did as a family is my mom was from Iowa. And so we would travel to Iowa for the holidays. And I had a fair amount of cousins that were my age, and we would do a lot of different things together over the holidays. But I was thinking about one thing that we did, and my extended family, a lot of them are farmers, and so many of them had barns. And I just remember specifically going to my grandfather's barn and playing in the haymow. And how many of you have played in the haymow and had... It's a lot of fun playing in the haymow. And there's something that I'm recalling as a child that we did in that haymow. And it was always fun to tear the bales apart and make these tunnels in the haymow. And so we would, you know, you would pull out all these bales, and then you would make a tunnel, and then you'd try to cover it up so that it was all dark, and you would crawl through these tunnels. And not only did I do this at my grandfather's barn, we also had a friend at church who had a farm. And I remember going there, and my friend's older brothers had made these tunnels. And what fun to climb through these tunnels when you didn't know what was in store. And as I thought back to that time, there's a couple things that I remember specifically about playing in those tunnels. And one of the things was the dust. And I've had a cough the last couple of weeks, and it's a lot of that cough. If you remember that dust you would breathe in, and it would just a dry cough, and you would come out, and you would have this dust in your lungs. Something else that I remembered is, as you entered that tunnel, the quietness that you heard, if you can hear quietness. Do you recall what I'm referring to? As you got in that tunnel, all of a sudden, all the noise of the farm and the tractors and whatever, it's just gone. And there's this dead stillness. And when you talk, it just disappears. You can't hear what's going on outside of that tunnel. And I remember even sometimes my parents would come to call us in or to go home or whatever it is, you know, and they could shout at the barn door, but you can't hear when you're inside the tunnel. And somebody would have to convey to, you know, come in, hey, your dad's looking for you, and then you'd have to come out. And so it's hard to hear because it's just this stillness that's absorbed in that hay. Something else I remember is the darkness, the complete darkness where you can't, this doesn't make a difference. When you put your hand in front of your face or you take it away, you can't see anything. And those were before the days of these handy little headlamps, and so we didn't have headlamps, but maybe a flashlight at best. But I just remember crawling through those tunnels, and it's pitch black, and you can't hear anything. And if you're not used to those tunnels, you didn't know where you were going, right? And so you would go, and all of a sudden, you would bump into something, and oh, this is the end. But the person in front of you was gone, so you knew they had went somewhere. So you would have to feel around, and suddenly, oh, up here's the way, right? And so you'd crawl over the next bale, and you would go on, or you would come into this large cavern and oh, we're at the end of the tunnel. And, oh, no, there's a little hole at the top corner. And so you would crawl up there or underneath, or, you know, there would be these drop-offs you would fall into, or just all these different things. When you're not aware of what the tunnel held, it was just exciting as a child to go through that. But there was a lot of uncertainty also because you didn't know what was in store. Another thing I thought about was these tunnels often had narrow little caverns or just these narrow little tunnels, I guess, where it would get really tight. And at some point, you were committed to go through there. And you either had to wiggle your way on through, or if you were going to go backwards, the people behind you had to agree to go backwards also because you couldn't pass one another. And so it was hard to turn around. At a certain point, you were committed to go on through to the other side. Today's message is taken from Luke chapter 2, and I know we're studying that for our Sunday school, so if you're a Sunday school teacher, I hope you're not quaking at this time, wondering if I'm going to take all your notes. I promise I don't think I'm going to. But I did want to turn our attention to Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. This morning's message has to do with the angels. It has to do with the happening before the world knew about Christ being born. And sometimes I think, or let me say it like this. Sometimes I wonder, what is it? Why did God, if God wants us to know what life is supposed to be all about, if God wants us to know His will, why is it so confusing at times? The second question is, as we see how God revealed Himself to the shepherds, I should say, through the angels, how He revealed Christ's birth to the shepherds, I want to draw our attention specifically to the shepherds and look at some of the things that the shepherds, why was it that God chose the shepherds to reveal himself to? Why was it that God sent the angels to the shepherds? If God would choose today to send Gabriel with that message, would he choose you to reveal it to? If God was saying, I'm sending a specific gift, a special gift to my people on earth, and I want to let them know what I'm doing, and I'm going to send Gabriel down to share this good news, would you be the one that Gabriel would come to? And as we look at this passage in Luke 2, maybe we can learn from these shepherds and maybe learn a little bit of why God sent his angels to the shepherds. Luke 2, as it's a familiar passage, but I want to point something out, and I'm not going to read the whole passage, but just follow with me. And so it starts out, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And so it's giving the story of Joseph and Mary and how they went to Bethlehem. And then in verse 7, jump down to verse 7, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And now, we could really, if you wouldn't know it, you could skip from there, from verse 7, and jump right over to verse 20. And so finishing up in verse 7 there, we're going to read, because there was no room for them in the inn, and then going to verse 20, sorry, that's a wrong verse that I'm wanting. So we could go from verse 7, because there was no room for them in the inn, and then we could go straight to verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. And we could really miss that whole portion in there of the angels, and yet the story would be pretty much complete, right? So it gives the progress of Joseph and Mary traveling, the baby being born, and now his name is called Jesus, and the story could go right on. And so there's a section of verses in there that has to do with Christ's birth, but yet it basically is just proclaiming what happened. And I want to read those verses together this morning. If you would read with me in your Bible or up here on the screen, we're going to start reading in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. So read with me. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to the will of your men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So we have this portion of Scripture that is really this, the proclamation of the Lord saying that Christ has come. Why did God choose the shepherds to come to? Why the shepherds and not someone else? And so let's look at the profession of a shepherd specifically, and maybe we can learn a few things about shepherds. The first thing is that, you know, the shepherds, even though I think sheep herding maybe wasn't a real glamorous profession, yet I don't see it in Scripture, I don't see a real disdain for shepherds either. But these were often unskilled, maybe untaught or uneducated people. And so sometimes they were looked down for this, because it didn't take a lot, maybe didn't take a lot of training. It was something that was taught by your father or by your older brother. But as we look in Scripture, there are a lot of leaders and different men in the Bible that are referred to as shepherds. In the Old Testament, it refers to Abraham as being a shepherd, having herds. It refers to Moses, to David, and then also in the Psalms, it refers to God. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And then in the New Testament, Jesus saying that he will shepherd my people. You know, shepherds often became shepherds kind of as a default, as I understand it. So it's a default of where you were born in the family tree. If you remember, as Samuel came to anoint David, David's brothers were out at war. They were doing real man things, right? But David was the youngest one, and he was still at home. He was out in the field watching the sheep. He was the youngest of the family. And so to put that in perspective, if the Zimmerman household here were shepherds, or they had sheep, if Mark and Lori had a herd of sheep, it would be Braden who would take care of the sheep to begin with, and then it would be Tristan as Braden got older, and Braden would help Mark on the farm maybe with the planting and things, and then as Tristan got older, he would help Mark on the farm, and now it was Clifton's responsibility, and it would continue to fall down until finally Randon is now the shepherd, and who's to take his place, right? And so by default, sometimes, well, from what I understand, that's how it worked. And so you became the shepherd, and maybe as the youngest child of the family, that was your profession, unless somebody else came to take your place or one of the brothers came back. And so it wasn't the most glorious of professions to have. And maybe sometimes you, even as it is today, how we end up doing things that our fathers did. We end up working in his business, and we kind of default into that, not necessarily by our choice, but we end up just working in his business because we're a son of our father. And sometimes that's what happened as shepherds. You know, the shepherd was a protector. He was looking for danger, things that would harm the sheep, things that the sheep would get, maybe as they got stuck in a ravine or whatever. He was aware of that, and he was looking for ways to protect them, to keep them together as a herd, to protect them from wild animals and thieves and whatever may come. Not only was he a protector, but the shepherd was also kind of the doctor or the veterinarian of the herd. And the shepherd would take care of the sheep. When they were injured, he would bind up their wounds, and he would carry the lambs that were weak, and he would feed them when they were not able to feed themselves, and just a caring heart, a heart that serves is what I see the shepherd being. A shepherd was one who's not selfish, not looking out for his own good, but looking out for the best of the herd, looking out for the best of his lambs, of his sheep. They were his responsibility. It was his responsibility to take care of them, to make sure the herd was doing well. And the shepherd served out of a love for the sheep if he was going to do well with his herd. I see shepherds as having soft hearts, being relational to that herd of sheep, being relational to each individual lamb, knowing them by name and knowing their characters and knowing what they enjoy and and what makes them afraid. He knew them as individuals, not just as a big herd. So looking at the shepherd, so what was it specifically that God maybe saw in this shepherd, in these shepherds, that he chose to send his angel to bring this good news? There are several things that I see in these shepherds that I think we can learn from. The first one is the shepherds were watching. You know, they were alert to their surroundings. They saw what was happening. They had to be aware of what was going on around them. They weren't sleeping on the job. They were aware of what was happening. They were looking, always looking for signs of danger or looking for greener grass or water for their sheep. And so they had this constant mindset. They were looking out for the best of their herd. And these shepherds were no different. They were looking out for their herd. And when this angel came, when the trumpet was blown, when this light shone, they were very alert and aware of what was going on. And they immediately saw this. They were watching. Scripture refers in different places to us watching. In Matthew 26, verses 40 and 41, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's facing some of the toughest times in his life here on earth, I think. And as he comes with his disciples, his disciples stayed in a place, and Jesus went on to be by himself. And it says in that passage that he was questioning, and he was asking God, God, Father, if it's just possible, just let this cup pass from me. Do I have to go through this? And he was struggling. And as he came back to those disciples, he found them asleep. And so here in his great time of need, when Christ could have used somebody to sit with him, to minister to the things that he was struggling with, he found his disciples asleep. And he's told his disciples, he said, could you not just watch with me for 1 hour? Could you not just watch and pray? And I wonder sometimes as people, do we fall asleep? Are we aware of what's going around us? Are we as shepherds that were alert to what's happening? Are we as shepherds were, are we awake and alert to the needs around us? Do I realize what people in the church are going through? Do I really know what they're facing? Do I care enough to know that they're struggling? Do I even know enough to know that they're going through a good time? This is a joyful time in their life. Do I know, am I alert and aware of what my brothers and sisters are experiencing? Or am I asleep as the disciples were when Christ needed them most? The shepherds were alert. Another passage of Scripture, Mark 13, verse 32 and 33, speaks of Christ's second coming. And it says, but the day and the hour knoweth no man. And then he says, take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is come. Another warning to watch and be alert. And I think that's a specific warning to us to be aware. Christ is coming again. Be alert, be ready, be prepared. Another thing I see in these shepherds is they were listening. You see, when the angel gave them the message, they heard it. And not only did they hear the message, but I believe they understood it. They knew what the angel was talking about when he told them, a Savior is born. For unto you a Savior is born. They understood it. Not only did they hear it, they comprehended it. They knew what he was talking about. They understood that this is what had been prophesied years ago, and they were watching and waiting not only for the danger of their that may come to their sheep, but they were also watching for this coming of this Messiah. And they understood it, and they knew what to expect. Maybe not fully, maybe not exactly in this form, but they were able to put it together because they knew of the promise. And they said, oh, this is what we've been waiting for. And you know, God speaks to us in different ways. And sometimes I wish God would speak like he did to these shepherds. I wish there was a trumpet and there were bright lights and, you know, Gabriel would come and give me his message. But God isn't like that. See, God does at times speak to us like that, but he doesn't always speak to us with all the bright lights and the trumpets like he did to these shepherds. And in fact, in 1 Kings, there's the story of Elijah when he was up on Mount Carmel. And if you remember when he prayed down fire and all of Baal, the servants of Baal were destroyed. And right after that, Jezebel gives a death decree for Elijah. And she says Elijah should be killed. And Elijah goes out to the wilderness and he's kind of at loss a little bit of what to do. What's next, Lord? And God eventually speaks to him, tells him to come out. He's in a cave and up to the front of the cave. And if you remember that story, he's to wait and listen for the word of God. And it says there was a wind first, a mighty wind. And we've had a lot of wind this fall. And I think God can show himself in a mighty way of the wind sometimes, but it says Elijah was listening, and it says it wasn't in the wind. He didn't hear God through the wind. And then there was an earthquake, and everything shook. And I can imagine Elijah thinking, well, God's going to talk to me. And he didn't. And then there was a fire. And God's showing all these powerful things of nature, and Elijah's listening. And then it said, after all that happened, and then there was a still small voice. And God spoke to Elijah. And you see, God's like that sometimes. God at times speaks through the wind and the fire and the earthquakes, and it's obvious to us. But other times, he wants to get our attention so that we focus in and we listen. And then he speaks to us in a still small voice. Maybe not in the way that we're expecting. Am I alert to how God wants to speak to me? Am I alert as I'm reading my devotions, as I'm reading through Scripture, am I alert saying, God, speak to me? Because see, God speaks through Scripture. God speaks through the church body at times to give us direction. Sometimes God speaks through a brother or a sister, or maybe it's a book that I'm reading. Am I receptive to that? Am I open to that? Am I listening? Am I hearing what God wants to speak to me? Am I willing to hear in different ways? God doesn't always speak in the same way. Sometimes it's in big things. Sometimes it's through other people around us. Am I alert and listening? The third one is doing. You know, not only did they hear, not only were they watching and hearing, but they also acted on what they heard. When the shepherds heard this proclamation of this Messiah being born, it says they went immediately. And I have to wonder, you know, if these shepherds, if they rushed off like Scripture says they did, and it said they came with haste, and I can imagine as these angels proclaimed this happening and what was this Christ, this Messiah that was coming, this thing they had been looking forward to. I can imagine the shepherds getting around and rushing off, right? And it says they came with haste and saw Mary and Joseph and the babe. And it makes me wonder, what happened to the sheep? Who watched over the sheep? And Scripture doesn't say, and I don't know what happened. Maybe they asked to watch the sheep and said, we're going to be gone for some time. But I could just imagine them rushing off. And you see what just their action shows that they believed. It shows that that they trusted, that like it made sense to them, and what they heard they believed because they went in faith. They went looking for this Messiah. They went looking for what had been told them. See, when God tells us something and there's and when we say yes, we hear, we see it and we hear, but there's not action on my part, there's not a doing, there's not a moving forward, have I really understood what he's told me? Has it really connected? If it hasn't changed who I am, if it hasn't moved me to action, do I really understand the message that he's given us, that he's given me? You see, these shepherds believed what they saw enough to go seek him. In James chapter 1, verses 21 through 24, it speaks about hearing and understanding, but then not doing anything. And he refers to it as looking into a mirror. Friday, I was helping my brother-in-law. He's painting his house. And I was his helper. Often I do the painting. We were using a sprayer. And I had a hat on, and I knew there's a lot of overspray, and we had masks on, and I tried to keep it tight. But let me tell you, even though I thought, well, I'm probably more out of the paint because I'm not doing the painting, when we went for lunch and when I went home, it was pretty obvious I had been painting. I had paint all over my nose and in my eyes, and you know, this morning I'm still wiping white out of my eyes, and there was paint all over. But as I looked at myself in that mirror, I could see, even though I didn't feel like I had paint on myself, it was obvious I had been painting. And if I wouldn't have taken care of that, it would have been pretty distracting this morning. And that's what James is referring to when he says, you hear, you understand what you should do, but you don't do it. It's like looking into a mirror, seeing I have paint on myself and deciding, it's not that big a deal. And I come this morning and there would be paint all over my face. It would be very distracting. You see, the same thing is true when we come to church, you hear the teaching of the word, we hear what's being said and we say, yes, that's truth. And then we go from here and nothing happens. It's like looking into a mirror, seeing something on our face and saying, it's probably not a big deal. But see, these shepherds weren't like that. They didn't just listen. They didn't just see this and hear and then say, well, I guess the Messiah is here. It pushed them to act. It pushed them to do something because they believed what they had been told. And they went and found it. And they went and worshiped. And it changed who they were because they acted on what they knew. Doing. Act on what we know is right. And then they took it another step. Not only did they act on it, they came to Bethlehem and they saw the babe. And it says that they went out from there, and what did they do? It said they shared what they had experienced. They went and told other people. And there's something about, in fact, they were the first evangelists, if you think about it. When they left that manger, they were the first ones, they were the first evangelists that there were. They went out and started telling people about Christ, the Savior, the one who had come to change the world. They were telling everybody else. They were excited. There's something about learning something, whether it's in your occupation or who you are as a person. When I'm open to hearing from somebody and they teach me something and I learn it is one thing, and I implement it in my life, it changes who I am. But then when I take that one step further is when I take what I've learned now and I know it well enough and I've acted on it enough, it becomes a part of who I am now that I can now take that and teach somebody else and tell them what I've learned. I pass on what I've learned here and I give it to somebody else. And there's a lot of value in that, because not only does that person benefit now, it also reinforces what I've learned back here. And it gives me opportunity to grow even more. And as I start to teach something, you have to know what you're talking about. And you have to be able to know all the dynamics of what made me this person, because I've learned it from him. And it starts to expand my knowledge on what I thought I knew. And I begin to not only just use it for myself, I begin to teach somebody else. I pass it on, and they learn from that. And that's what these shepherds did. Not only did they hear it, not only did they benefit from it and go back to their flocks, but it says they went out and they told others. Brothers and sisters, that's what the Christian life is all about, is learning, is hearing, but that's not an end in itself. It should push us to go further and to want to tell other people. It's a great thing. The Messiah is here. There's been a Savior that has been born, and that's what we celebrate. But if it's just for me, God help us. We should be pushed to go out and share with others, not only for their benefit, but also reinforcing in my heart what Christ has done for me. Taking it a step further from listening, seeing, and doing, but also telling other people, proclaiming to others what has happened in my life. And it says that the people that heard it, they wondered. They were amazed at what they were told by these shepherds. If God was going to send Gabriel with an important message, would you be the one he would send him to? Would he be able to depend on you to do well with the message? We say, well, sometimes we wonder, where is God? Where? That was back in the Bible times. He sent angels and bright lights and all kinds of things and trumpets. And we wonder, where's God at today? Does God really still speak to us? Maybe you're a youth this morning. Maybe you're wondering, even, is there a God? Is there really a God? Is there really somebody up there in heaven that I've been taught? Or if there is, where's he at? Why don't I hear from him? Maybe you're in school and you're wondering, well, what's next? What does God have next for me in life? I don't hear from him. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the next step is. What should I do next? Maybe you were wondering, where is God leading me in my life? Or is God leading me? Maybe you're middle age, a little bit where I'm at in life, and you're thinking, well, does all this really matter? You know, I've lived life now for 40-some years, and is it that big a deal? As a Christian life, is it that big a deal? Is it that serious? Does it really matter? Maybe you're finding yourself this morning in survival mode with the busyness of life in that middle age, or wherever you find yourself in a busy time of life with children, responsibilities, and you're just wanting to get through today, just survive today and get to tomorrow. Maybe God feels really distant to you. He's just, yeah, I believe that he's there, but he's out there somewhere. I just can't get a grasp on him. He seems to be really far away. And maybe you're an older person, you're thinking, is there really purpose for me anymore? Is my time done? Have I served well, and now is God done with me? Is my purpose on earth just finished? And you're feeling a little bit over the hump, just, You know, sometimes I think in life we find ourselves kind of in that hay tunnel where things are really quiet. I'm down in there and it's deathly still, and part of me kind of enjoys that, because I can't hear anything outside of what I'm focused on. And I'm referring to that hay tunnel as your life, wherever you're at now. And maybe that hay tunnel is your job. Maybe it's your hobbies. Maybe it's whatever takes your interest, your passion. And sometimes when we're in that tunnel of life, wherever you find yourself in there, and there's a quietness that we kind of enjoy. And the reason we enjoy that is because I can kind of do my thing in that tunnel and I don't have to hear what's outside. But you see, sometimes there are needs and things outside of that tunnel that I need to be aware of. But yet I can't hear them because I'm so taken up in my own little world, my own little passions, my own things that I enjoy, my job. It consumes me. Maybe it's media or music or YouTube or whatever it is. It's that thing that envelopes me and just causes me to have this quietness that I can't hear, I can't feel, I can't sense what's going on around me. Sometimes life is like that. I can't hear what's going on outside, and I can't see the path forward because it's dark. And as I move forward, suddenly I bump into something, or I drop off into this drop-off, right, in that tunnel. Because, see, I don't know the path. I don't know where I'm going. And sometimes in that tunnel life, I find myself in that real little tight spot. And suddenly, I would really like to turn around and go back because I sense I'm not going in a good direction. But it's so constricting, it's so tight, and I find myself caught in whatever that may be for you, that there's no way to turn around and get back out of this. And I'm not sure I want to go forward. And friends, that takes real effort. Especially when people are following me and have followed me into that tunnel to say, we need to go back. We need to get out of here. Because I don't think we're going in a good direction. Do you find yourself like that? You're in a dark tunnel, a quiet tunnel, and you're not sure where to go. And see, sometimes when I'm in that tunnel, I can't hear either. I can't hear Gabriel. I can't hear God speaking to me because I'm all taken up in my own little world. I'm so filled up with what I'm doing that I can't even hear God speaking to me. God is a relational God. He sent His Son, and I believe He wants to make Himself known to us. I believe He wants to have a relationship with us. I believe He wants to reveal His will for our life. My question is, are you the person that's watching? Are you listening? Are you doing? And are you telling? Would God send Gabriel to you this morning if you had a message to share? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you. Lord, we're grateful for your Son. Lord, thank you for sending him to this earth. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be aware and alert, that we would sense your Spirit, Lord, that we would be open to hearing from you. Lord, help us to be careful to not allow things in our life that hinder us from hearing and seeing and just serving you, Lord. It's so easy to get taken up in responsibilities and our jobs and whatever it may be, Lord, that crowd out that still small voice that wants to speak to us. Lord, may we be as the shepherds, be watching and waiting, alert and hearing, and then also sharing with others your word and what you have for us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.